You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
Betting line. Pop culture segment. And Twitter. It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave with the third podcast of the post-Vikings, pre-Lions week of Packers football. The first two podcasts of the week, we recap the first and second halves of the Packers, I wouldn't say dominating, but strong victory over the Vikings. In this podcast, we're going to set the betting lines for the coming week, talk a little pop culture, maybe have some mail that we can talk about as well. But Dave reminds me that in the last podcast of last season, we set some off-season betting lines. And I got to tell you, I totally forgot about this. You see, because when the podcast is done, it no longer exists for me. It just is poof, gone. So you're going to have to remind me about this, Dave. So we actually set some betting lines here. So tell me about that.
We did. I don't think if anyone sent their votes in, I apologize for not. And I really apologize to Mike if he actually got results, sent it to us, say a week after we did the last one. Who knows where that email is? If Mike still has it, he could resend it to me. But I thought it'd be interesting to review those because they're off season. And the off season is now over, so we have results. We can at least see if you or I were right. Okay. Ready to play?
Sure.
All right. Number one, the first off-season betting line we asked, I asked you, and we asked ourselves, will Aaron Rodgers retire? Isn't that interesting that we asked ourselves that? Both of us said no, and we were both correct.
Yay.
Thank goodness. Yeah, after the way he played today. But number two, we asked, will Jimmy Graham retire?
No. Well, yes, he did retire. He signed with the Bears. So yeah, that's basically retirement. Yeah.
And I saw someone tweeted, like, catch the ball, Graham. And I thought, I wonder if that was a Bear fan. And I'm looking here at the headline, Mike McCarthy's decision-making under question after Cowboys loss. I thought, oh
wow. Wow. Something just never changed.
And let me ask you this. I don't know if you saw the headline, but apparently he had a controversial call of either going for it or kicking a field goal. Which do you think he did and is now criticized for?
I don't know, not knowing what the situation was.
Yeah, just knowing Mike McCarthy.
I'm guessing he kicked the field goal.
He decided to go for it, and the Cowboys turned it over on downs. I wonder if that's him trying to reinvent himself a little bit,
I think it is, because when he was in Green Bay, he like the Seattle, NFC Championship game, he kicked field goals, that was what he did.
So this is, so Mike McCarthy's now under heavy scrutiny already.
One game in. Nice.
Yeah. Number three, I asked, will Kenny Clark be signed to a long-term deal? We both said yes, and he did.
Bang. Yeah.
Nailed that one. So we're two out of three. Just in time for him to be hurt for the season, which is great. Number four, I thought this was interesting. How many free agents will they sign and that make the final roster? You set the line at 4.5, and I said over. And I looked at the roster. Do you know how many free agents? Didn't count undrafted free agents. I mean, these are legit, free agents that is on the final roster. I was pretty surprised by this.
Boy, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can only think of Kirksey. They signed Richard Wagner.
Richard Wagner, yeah, Nietzsche's good friend. Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. So that's two.
That's it.
Is that it? Okay.
That's it. Right. Everyone else is either, that I could tell, is either they signed as an undrafted or off someone's waiver wire at 19. There's a lot of those. There are like three or four of those. I couldn't find any other free agents. So I guess the answer is two, and I got it wrong.
Okay. See, I thought they would get a lot more of the bargain basement. I thought they would buy in bulk of the
the guys that are marginal, you know?
Yeah, what do you think about that now? I mean, looking at their roster right now and looking at the positions, I mean, I'm sure there are certainly areas that they could improve.
Yeah.
But they either have very solid players. I mean, this is after a victory, so.
Right, exactly.
This is really, I should not say this, but, you know, it feels like in other places they have up-and-comers that I'm kind of interested to see. I can't even think what position am I super, super disappointed in other than what I'm going to talk about in the next betting line.
You're not angry, Dave. You're just disappointed.
Constantly.
Yeah.
But I guess receiver was one. I don't know where they stand, and that was the next betting line. Well, will they sign a free agent receiver? We both said yes last year.
Yeah, I really thought so. But what I didn't take into account was that they seem to be rethinking, you know, how their roster is constructed. And it seems like they believe tight ends can have a lot more role in the offense, and they like to pass to the backs. That's really important. So if you're going to make a real commitment to tight ends and running backs, you probably don't need as many wide receivers.
I mean, it would have been interesting for them not to get Love, like get a backup quarterback next year, and could you upgrade your – I guess if you had Jefferson for the Vikings, let's say, would he – you know, Lazard played really solid, so maybe he's not – you're going to be your two. Maybe he's your three because maybe he makes – all the catches the MVS doesn't catch and, you know, we're even that much better. But, you know, I guess we would say right now MVS's upside is still pretty high. It's just, he's got a really low floor too. I thought
a high variance player.
He is a high. Yes. His standard deviation's quite high. So we said number five was, will they sign a free agent wide receiver? The answer was no. And they hardly even, I mean, did they draft one? I don't.
No, they did not.
They didn't even draft a single one.
In fact, they got rid of the mobbed up Jay Kumerow. So yeah,
that's right. Yeah, all of our favorites. Number six, I asked, what position will they draft in round one? Do you remember what you said?
I probably said offensive line.
You said linebacker.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Probably for replacing Blake, maybe.
Right.
I said wide receiver, and of course it was the option Q.
Yeah, I did not see that coming, and you know, I did not follow Love's career, in college. I mean, I've read a lot about him and things, but I have no feel at all for this guy. I've seen no preseason games. For me, he's just a rumor. By the way, did you find it odd that, you know, when they cut away to the Packers bench, you know, there's Boyle yucking it up with Rodgers, and where the hell was Love? I mean, I think they showed him one time he was in street clothes, but he wasn't like with the other quarterbacks. It was like he was exiled off to a different part of the bench, you know, while, yes, hey, this is the adult table here. You have to go to the kids table. Yeah, it's weird. So I'm not sure if that was a great move. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to prepare for a post-Rodgers period, and I get that. But I just don't know if this is the guy, you know?
And I don't think that this idea that, you know, by drafting Love, you got a better Aaron Rodgers because he lit a fire under his butt. Like, I'm not buying that. We're all professionals here. You know, I think the problem is someone had to give there if they were not on the same page. And hopefully they found a way to meet in the middle somewhere so that everybody could be happy. But I think that's going to be a narrative that we're going to hear, is that Love might not be playing now, but what it did is look how Rodgers is.
We're already hearing it on Twitter. It's already on Twitter.
Yeah. So I just think that's baloney. This is an interesting one. Number seven, I asked you if Pettine would get fired. You said yes.
Yeah, you know, I really thought, in fact, there was discussion about this, right, after that game.
Well, after San Francisco game, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that was the last game they played last year. And I thought that, you know, he's not LaFleur's guy. And LaFleur probably wants his own guy, and this would be a great reason with the way they got gashed with the run. Now, I like Pettine because philosophically we're in sync. it's a passing league. You want to, you know, contain the run, but you, what you really want to do is stop the pass, because the NFL is all about the pass. And there's a couple teams that run, you know, San Francisco. There are a couple of teams that emphasize that. It's not a good matchup for Green Bay, but in most of the other games, you know, you're going to want to stop the pass, and you can't assume that San Francisco is always going to be there at the end of the season. So you got to prepare for them. If you played them twice a season, because they were in your division, well, then maybe you might think differently about your philosophy. But there are seasons where you're not going to play them at all. Right. So why do you prepare for that team when the teams that you are playing are, you know, the ones that are going to determine whether or not you make it to the postseason? You got to get there first. And so I'm glad they didn't fire him, but I really thought that they would, because I thought that LaFleur would want to make over the team with the guys that, you know, that he wants. He wants his own guys. And when you're in a leadership position, you know, I think we all know how that works, right? You know, a new broom sweeps clean. And I think maybe he might've had to keep Pettine last year, but there was reason to fire him. And I really thought it would have happened.
Yeah. I said no, and I was right. So yep. There you go. I asked, where's Tony Romo going to land? CBS or ESPN? You said CBS. I said ESPN. Actually, I didn't ask either or. That was just what we answered.
Yeah.
I think you won that one. He landed at CBS, well, I believe.
It would have been, yeah. I mean, they absolutely had to, you know, get that guy. He's very popular with people. You know, and he has a way about him, and I know he's one of your homeboys and things. He does have a way about him that is endearing, and it's almost kind of a gosh and golly kind of way about him, you know. And I can see why people like him, you know.
A gosh and golly that can tell the future. I can tell what plays are going to happen next. It's
Nostra fucking Damas. Okay.
I asked you next who would win the Super Bowl. You said San Francisco. I said Kansas City. So I got
that. Wow. Nicely done. Yeah. That was one. I thought that was a good game. I thought that was a real good game. I'm glad it came out the way it did, because I wanted to see that for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Mahomes seems like a good kid. They got a nice team. They've done some good work there. And I'm a little fatigued on the whole Niners thing. And I was a little raw, too, about the way they did the Packers. So I was
the Shanahan offense, all that garbage.
Yeah. I'm going to vomit every time now. And it's not that he's a bad guy, even though he needs to crown that hat, but still I don't think he's a bad guy. It's just that there's so much, you know, ass kissing when it comes to him and his philosophy. You know, it's just, oh God. Really? I mean, just kind of contain yourself. These people who you know, bow down and genuflect at his throne. I this seems out of proportion to me.
Well, they lost today, apparently. So that's
I have not seen the scores. From
I think
the day.
I think they lost today. The next one is a kind of a sad one. We asked who's going to win the XFL championship. I said the St. Louis Battlehawks, which I was very confident. Yeah, I think you said the Las Vegas degenerates, or I don't know what they're
Las Vegas colonoscopies.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And nobody wins there. Everyone's a loser. XFL, not only do they not have a champion, they cancel the league. It's all done. My season tickets are just completely burned in smoke. So there you go with the XFL.
Yeah, you mean you didn't see the pandemic coming, Dave? I mean, you're not like Trump and able to see that it was coming, and you called it that before everybody else did. I thought that you were, prescient in these matters.
No, well, I was I was struck by St. Louis Battlehawk fever. Like, I didn't have anything else on my mind.
That blinds a lot of people. It really does.
That is one of the symptoms of Battlehawk fever, blindness. And then the tiebreaker was, what will be the number of the number one draft pick? You said 50, I said 82, and I don't know what Love's number is, but I'm guessing it's probably like 10 or something.
I've never seen the guy in his uniform. I don't know what number that he wears, because today he was in street clothes, so I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in the preseason, so
yeah.
We don't know who won that one.
I'll go to the website. You fill time, and I'll go to the website and try to find it. Okay, well, watch. Just kind of move along there, Dave. Okay. Just kind of find something to talk about.
It's here we are. It's Sunday evening, and we're doing a podcast.
It's our third podcast.
it's our, we're already three. We're going to hit our high numbers. Anyway, and I noticed last one, we decided to call our last episode, episode 500, just because we wanted to get there. But I think we'll go back to normal numbers. And I don't know if CD or Al allowed us to do that anyway.
Number 10. 10.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So those were your
off-season
betting lines. Thank you.
Yep.
And as I think we all learned, nobody won. Everyone's a loser.
Everyone is a loser in 2020. Yep, no doubt about it.
Except those who now work from home forever. That's.
I'm kind of enjoying it. I've sort of made my peace with it, and I'm kind of set up well here. And the commute to work is very short, so that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a lot of shorts.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that in St. Louis. Less gas. Well. Beyond that, let's maybe want to talk about the betting lines against next week against the Lions. Want to do that?
The Detroit Lions. Let's set them up, and let's just assume that our man Mitchell Miller is going to be in. If not, he's going to have a lot of email that he doesn't want to deal with. Yeah. But it serves him right if he turns his back on us. Damn it.
Yeah, and he might have.
Mike, we have made you. Damn it, we have made you.
So assuming that Mike's in it, and if he's not, we'll still go through the results, and you know. Some games you could play at home as well as online. So
you're saying, Dave, that people should play with themselves at home.
And online.
Yeah. It's bad. Isn't that what the internet's for?
All right. Number one. I thought I'd be super creative, and I'd start the season with the first betting line being Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating.
Well, okay. This is something we didn't mention the first two podcasts of the week. 127. You know, I mean, in the first game, that was not a bad passer rating at all.
Not bad.
I'm not sure, though. We mentioned this, I think, in the first podcast. I'm not sure if that was a result of, you know, the way they've kind of structured the offense and Aaron's frame of mind. And he looked at, you know, tape from 2020 and he's doing something, you know, different. So I guess I'm hesitant to say that he's going to, oh yeah, he's turned the corner and he's going to be over 100 every week. Lions, though, on the other hand, it's not great, Bob. So I'm thinking that he'll have a good week against the Lions, who lost to the Bears this week. I'm going to go 97.
All right, 97. I'm going to take the over. I think they're at home.
Well, does that make any difference? You know, when there's nobody in the stands.
That's true. Well, you know, he will be able to continue his calling plays at line of scrimmage with, you know, not any noise to disrupt him. I think he can get over 100 against Detroit. We need to start another win streak against Detroit and Wisconsin. I think we need to keep that going now. Number two, how many catches for Davante Adams?
Well, 14 today, so why wouldn't there be 14 next week, Dave?
All right.
No, I think we'll be a little more conservative. You know, now the thing is that for all of the teams now, no one has any preseason film, tape, whatever, digital, whatever the digital equivalent is. Now everyone's going to have it, and they're going to be able to see what goes on, and they're going to figure it out. So I'm guessing that, you know, there are going to be some planning being made. So my guess is that he's still going to be a force, still going to try to get him the ball. But I'm going to think it's going to be more like, I'm going to set the line at 8.5.
We've because done I like too long. I'm starting to guess like your lines.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over on that until I get proven otherwise. I think, I think it's going to be really hard to stop Devontae. Cause I think if you do a high low on him, you open up the run game. I don't know where Detroit is on run defense. If you're committing too much to the pass, I think if you do the two deep safety, kind of split the field, that's where the sideline throws are great. And then if you do a one safety, Adams can cross. I think they're going to he's going to consistently be in the 8 to 10 range, I think, in every game, unless he gets hurt.
You didn't react to my allusion to Fellini in 8.5. You didn't react with, oh, that's so witty, so erudite, the way you came up with 8.5 on the betting line for Devontae, and it's the name of the famous Fellini film. You didn't give me any love there. Okay, good. I thought to point that out to people.
Yeah, is that like 9.5 weeks? Is that
No, no.
The prequel?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
I'm not familiar. Please don't come up with
Philistine.
Hoity-toity pop culture reference.
Philistine.
And make me look bad. All right, number three. How many touches from scrimmage now, mind you, will Tyler Irvin receive?
Okay, so touches would include that little touch pass thing they do, throwing it through the air in the traditional pass, and also a handoff.
Right.
And this would be for the entire game.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Oh, God. They love him, and but the Lions are going to see it, you know, on film, and they might want to go away from it because they don't want to become too... I'm going to go with 4.5.
Oh, wow. I'll take the under. I'm going to take the under. I think...
Oh, that is that is a dumb play on your part, boy. That
it'll
dumb.
Be like 4.
God, that's dumb.
But
jeez, that's stupid. Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm going to take the under. And then, by the way, for future reference, every betting line I give you is the entire game. I'm not, unless I specifically say just a certain amount of time. Assume it's every game.
Our podcast used to be the entire game, too, but not any longer, Dave.
Oh, things I see. You were starting to.
Things change.
We're not. Yeah, the betting line's for the full game. Number four, and this might be a stat or a betting line that I want to do every week because. I think this is our new cult hero here. Number four, total yards for A.J. Dillon.
Okay. Did he have two carries? I think he had two carries
carries.
14 yards, yeah.
I had notes that he had three, but I think I must have mistook him for Williams at one time.
And
so.
He wasn't targeted in the passing game either.
No.
But that's going to determine a lot of his playing time, too. His ability to block and his ability to be a factor in the passing game. And until he can do that, I don't think he's going to play a lot. So I'm going to go 2.5. I don't think he's going to get a lot of carries or a lot of action.
No, it's how many total yards I had.
Oh, yeah, 2.5. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. 14's actually a lot. I'm thinking two touches maybe just because he's not going to see the field a lot. But 14's a lot for I'm going to set that at 10.5.
This is where you're wrong. I'm going to take the over at home in grass with a lead. You're going to see him like someone walking through mud, just walking through the defense of the Lions, just trouncing over them. And, you know, I think he could have 12 total yards and 4 touchdowns.
You know, at best, the guy is the third string running back. And I just don't see them – you know, getting him a lot of play. But if they're smart, and I think they are smarter than us when it comes to this stuff, really, on those short yardage situations, they've really got to let that guy just batter away, you know?
Yeah.
That's got to be his moment.
Do you think they think about that Aaron Jones wants his touchdowns? You know, you've got McCaffrey, and he were back and forth on touchdowns.
Yeah.
So every time you're at the one, you're not allowing Aaron Jones to get his scores.
I sure as hell hope that's not a factor.
I hope not either.
That would be horrible. And I know he runs pretty well through the tackles, but he's just not he's not built that way. I mean, that's not really his game. It's more Williams' game. But I think this is going to be the sweet spot for Dillon.
Well, I think Aaron Jones, you know, by having so many touchdowns last year is that he can slip out of tackles, you know, back his way into end zones, you know, where maybe might. But if the hole's not there, you know, and it's stuffed, and what's he going to do? Where Dillon might be able to take some plays that, you know, there's a wall in front of him and just blow right through it. So, and it doesn't look like he's just mutters have any moves he can move too.
He looks like he's cut and he's like, you know, this guy, again, he looks like Tarzan, you know, but I think he might play like Tarzan when he's given the chance. He's just not a finished NFL product yet.
Yeah, I would be curious this week to listen to others on, are we the only ones that are going through this Dillon craze? Because, I, you know, he is, it's a tease, right? It's 7 yards a carry, that first carry he had where he's, you know, running people over, that's cool. And I wonder if his stock is super high right now, and unjustifiably so, maybe.
Well, it's the first time I've seen the guy. I mean, I didn't even look at his film from Boston College. So the first time I saw him, and he gets on the field, and he's not at all what I thought he was going to look like. He, again, like I said in the first podcast, I thought this was going to be kind of, you know, Eddie Lacy, you know,
and roly-poly.
This guy is not Eddie Lacy. This guy is, you know, he looks 25 pounds lighter than what his number on the scale is. You know, he's built that way. And, you know, he's showed a hell of a lot of power. I'm excited to see what this guy is going to do once he figures out the totality of the NFL game.
Number five, number of targets for the entire game, mind you, for MVS.
Okay, 4 catches today. I don't have the targets in front of me. What, about 6 maybe? Targets, 7?
Let's see if I have that in front of me. 6 targets, yes.
Six, because he had the 2 drops.
Right.
And, you know, that does sound about right, but I think there'll be fewer to Devontae, so I'm going to make it 6.5 will be the number on the targets for MVS.
I'm going to take the under, but I could be very wrong. You get an MVS game where he's 8 catches and, you know, a lot of yards if they really want to take away Devontae, but I'm going to take the under till I see more from that. Number 6, total passing yards for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I'm actually just watching the Lions highlights right now. You know, Stafford's always been good at lining up the stat sheet. I mean, he's always been good at that thing. So I don't think there's any reason why, you know, he wouldn't have a good game again. I mean, the fans obviously won't be a factor at Lambeau next week. I'm going to put him and the Packer defense a little suspect as well, as based on what we saw against the Vikings. I'm going to put him at 315.
Oh, I was going to say 400. 315. I am going to take the 315. I'm going to take the over to stick with the trend. And
that's what I would do too. I mean, I was thinking initially at 3.25, and I dialed it back because that just seemed too high, but I think the over is the right play.
I mean, I thought Cousins had a good game. His quarterback rating was 118, but he only threw for 259. Maybe 315 is get below that. I think you'd have
to
have
Matt Stafford's a better quarterback.
Yeah, and he can get chunks at a time. I'll stay with the over. And then the tiebreaker would be total points for the game. You know, looking at this 77 for today, good weather, potentially, you know, fall day. Who knows?
Middle September you know what that's like, you know, up here, it's great.
Should be nice.
You know, 23 points today for the Lions against the Bears. I don't know why they wouldn't score 23 again. I'm going to put that number between the two teams at 52.
I was going to say 55. So that's probably my. So those are your betting lines. I have one more question to ask you, but if you just to wrap up, you know, put a bow on these betting lines for the 16th season of Packers Therapy, you don't email us.
No.
PackersTherapy@yahoo.com.
No.
That's where you send your hate mail.
Exactly.
The betting lines guesses you sent to Mike Miller, and Mike has an email address.
He has a very distinctive email address.
And one of the changes I thought we'd make is that we just give Mike's email this year, that it's mitnomiller@gmail.com, that it is spelled MITNOMILLER.
@gmail.com.
Yes. So send him, again, someone listening to this for the first time. There's 16 years worth of inside jokes here that you're just going to have to catch
up. Think of the Mickey Mouse theme, you know?
Yeah.
Think of the Mikey Miller theme in this case.
My last question for you, Chris, is what is your prediction for the season this year.
Oh, do you have Now, typically, we play this little game after the last preseason game and before the regular season starts because, you know, we have no idea how it's going to play out. And by the way, for the record, did not miss the preseason at all. It would have been nice to have maybe two games so you get the numbers right. And so we know that, you know, Love is number 10, for instance, and we don't have to think that's Kyler Fackrell at 51 and said that's Chris Barnes. You know, it would just be nice to have a couple of games. But I did not miss because those four is way too many. So I did not miss them, but I did miss the chance to make a wild ass guess on the base of four meaningless games. So I'm not setting a line here, though. I have to actually guess a hard number, right? I'm not.
Yes, you do. Okay. And you can't do 9.5.
Because that's what I was going to do. That's what I do. Not like 9.5 weeks. You know.
Well, okay. I suppose. Yeah, you could do a tie.
I suppose I could, but that would be really stupid. So I'm not going to do that. I'm feeling 9, but now I have the benefit of having him see him play one real game, and so I'm going to go 10. I'm going to go 10-6.
Yeah, I think 10 is a pretty good number. I would have maybe thought 9 before I watched him play, but I might have had this game as a loss. So now I've got an extra 1 to add. I went through the season real quick. I think the real tough games will be at New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
At Tampa Bay could be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
At San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. That'll be definitely tough.
And then you've got Tennessee at the end of the season. So
yeah, Tennessee's sneaky good.
So, you know, that's four. So then let's say you've got Minnesota back at home. That could be a revenge game. But they didn't look very good. You know, if you can, do you split with the Bears or the Lions? I think I'm going to go with 11. I think there's going to be some teams that I think the Saints, like we could have 11, 12 wins, but really not play well against the Saints in San Francisco and kind of worry about the end of the season, hope for injuries or something. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
You know, they got the Falcons on the schedule. They're, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And you know, the Buccaneers, you know, they've got Brady a quarterback now.
Texans.
You got Deshaun, although they did not look good in their first game. But they got a good quarterback there. I mean, that's not nothing. And then you got the Colts. They brought over the former San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers quarterback. Who's got all the kids? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, got him now.
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
No. he's indistinguishable
That was a good one, my friend.
Yeah.
He's just a Hall of Fame quarterback. What does it matter, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
But
anyway, so they got, you know, a quarterback there. I don't know. They will be, if they go 10-6 against the schedule they have, I think they will have had a good season. So that's what I'm going with. And I think that should be good enough to get them in the playoffs too.
Well, I'll go with 11. I think the fact that they've got a win already is big.
Yeah.
We've got to sit here and spend some time figuring out who that quarterback is. He's, I have Ryan Leaf stuck in my head. Now I'm not going to be able to get him out, but, is his first name Dave? Is he a David? David Rivers?
Close. Rivers is right.
Oh,
Philip.
Philip Rivers.
Philip,
I'm
yes.
David. I'm Chris.
That's
you're
right.
Dave. No, I'm Dave. You're Chris. And he's Philip. Got it.
Yep. Then maybe we should have Philip join us here, you know, on the podcast. That
he could fill up good. Some time.
Well, he's been filling up something because he got like 8 kids, so we know what he's been busy filling up. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to get my another unintentional pun in.
Keep on working. Keep working.
We're still at one.
It's a long season, though. So, yeah.
Trying to get one a podcast. What's the over under on unintentional puns for the year? Do you
know? I'm going to go 14 and a half. I don't know. And now Mitt Miller is going to have to keep track of that, too, for us.
Yeah.
You know, we had one email. It was from Tom in Germany. It was a nice email. He wishes us well in the time of the coronavirus. Anyway, he said that he wanted to know the prognosis for the Viking game, and I said I really didn't know because I hadn't seen him. I just read stuff. But he said, Tom in Germany said, I bet we pound them. And you know what? He's damn right. You know? So way to go, Tom in Germany. Thanks for being in touch. And also thanks for successfully being a prognosticator when it comes to how the Packers would do, because they did, in fact, pound the Vikings, final score notwithstanding. He also sent a link to a video, and this kind of means our transition to the pop culture thing. A German group called Giant Rooks, and a song called Misinterpretations. It sounded pretty damn good. I liked it. Very contemporary sounding thing. I guess it must be very popular in Germany right now. So Giant Rooks is the name of the band that Tom sent me the link to, and the song is Misinterpretations, and I liked it. It was actually quite good. So thank you, Tom, for being in touch with that. And I'll give us a quick shout out to some of the people got to us today on Twitter. Matt Krenz, of course, Pastor Kevin. Always good to hear from Kevin. Thank you, sir. Zach Corrigan in touch. Jack Broad, our man down under, being in touch. We appreciate that. And Logan Robertson, who is a divinity student. And I believe he's in Colorado. I think that's where he is. He and I have been corresponding during the offseason on a variety of topics, not just Packers football, but other stuff as well. And Logan's been a listener for a while, and he's listening to this podcast as well. Or at least he said he was going to be listening to us as well. Got a couple of follows this week, too. Tommy Phillips, which I'm sure is an assumed name. And Camp Freddy, which is definitely an assumed name. So thank you, fellas. I'm assuming those are fellas for following us on Twitter. And happily, Jared Van Cleve, our man Jared, our chief engineer, not audio engineer in this case, in touch with a like, which I liked his like. Hope Jared and Mrs. Dr. Van Cleve, as well as the family, doing well in, I think they're still in Seattle. Hope you guys are. And his aunt, except our friend.
It's full of smoke there. I hope he's not.
Well, the whole West Coast is kind of a problem. It's problematic at this point. But hey, it's one of the 2020 things, you know. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, his aunt has retired from our old
career.
Yeah.
Tough job.
But she's a very nice woman and did a very good job. She had a tough act to follow, though. I understand that the guy that before was...
She got out from his shadow. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, Rusty in Twin Cities, touch with us all the time about a lot of stuff. Rusty's a good man. Rusty's retired now. Is that a boy? Yeah. Got Rune Raider. I don't know what the hell that's about, but he was also in touch with us. And Stephen Kilby. This is a young man who's on the move. He's doing all kinds of stuff in the auto racing journalism biz. But I believe him and his dad still listen to us from the UK. So thank you, everyone who's in touch with us on Twitter. It's Packers Therapy, or at Packers Therapy. Is really the best way to communicate with us is to do it that way, because neither one of us like to be more than 288 characters. If you want to include Dave in that, at Pack Therapy Dave is Dave's Twitter handle. So both of us would like to hear from you. And we've got, you know, I would think a veritable shitload of followers. And we thank you all for that. So, pop culture, Dave, what do you got in pop culture?
You know, it's been a long off season, so there's probably too much to go over. There's so many good shows.
Yes.
It's so many good shows. And I haven't missed not being able to watch movies in a theater, because it's just, I need to focus. On these shows, my goodness, and they keep coming. I thought I'd do the two most recent, because one is I think a must recommend that I want to get out in front of everyone. The other is a nostalgic one for me. The must one, I watched a documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. I don't know if that's popped up on your feed at all, but it is a documentary about social media, and it's an interview of the people that designed and built Google's engine, Twitter, you know, Reddit, you just kind of go on Facebook, obviously. And they talk about how this is designed to make you addicted to, you know, your social media, basically. So, and they talk And, you know, these are the developers and designers. They probably made a ton of money through this technology, and yet they talk about how they don't let their kids watch it. This is how they handle it. They turn off all their notifications. But, the idea is that this is engineered to make us addicted. And these, you know, we're on one side of the screen, and you've got thousands and thousands of engineers who is gathering more and more data about you with the purpose of making you do what they want them to do, which is to pay their advertisers. It's really frightening. And I think it's something that, I get a lot of enjoyment of Twitter, and it's true. Like it's addicting to have Twitter. Like when I watch a football game, it's every commercial and I check to see, what are people saying Twitter. And then after the game, that's where I get a lot of my news. Cause I can get that so much more efficiently than a newspaper or, going to ESPN or something. I want to get multiple sources. But the idea of scrolling and having new things pop up constantly, and there's always something new. Mm-hmm. And then in the background as well, they're logging your activity and sending you ads. Mm-hmm. That's all of that is I think it's time that we all sort of have a strategy of how we use. I love Twitter. I don't use Facebook. I don't use really Instagram. I do kind of get that social media can be a positive way of bullying in a way that as you look at people's beautiful pictures, it makes you feel bad that you're not doing as much. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's an illusion. But I think that's hard sometimes. So I've been pretty good at avoiding that social media, but the addiction of I wake up, I'm on my phone. I if I'm going to sleep, I'm on my phone constantly, in the dopamine mm-hmm. zap that you get when you see you've got a new message. I get all that mentally, but I don't have a good strategy for it. I'm sure I'm addicted to this thing just like everybody else is. So I thought that's really important to watch it and then to kind of sit down and have a strategy for all this. And I haven't figured what mine is yet, but maybe together through this season of the Packers, we can all figure it out together. But assignment number one is to watch The Social Dilemma. That's my number one. Have you watched it or seen it out there?
I have not. But you were filibustering. I did look it up on Wikipedia so I could really find out what it was about. No, I actually multitasked, which isn't healthy either, by the way. But But hearing you talk about it, though, I'm gonna be serious about this. I think this is one of the biggest challenges that is facing us, modern people right now, because is why there is so much good. And I'm saying this as I am sitting in front of two computer screens and I have my phone. I have a special one of these little holders you can buy for $14 in front of me. I also see that I have my iPod Touch is plugged in right here as well. I am surrounded by this technology, and what you're saying, what they say in the film about the dopamine rush you get, and so forth, the reward that comes from seeing new things pop up. Yes, it's rewarding, but at the same time, it's overwhelming. And what you were saying too about the envy. There's a friend of mine and her husband are active on Swarm. And they got my wife and I to, sign up so we can kind of, follow where people are. And there's another guy who's a Packers fan. I don't think he listens to the podcast. I'm not sure he does, but he's a Packers fan. But I know him from a different discussion group that I'm in. And so I follow him on Swarm. And he's a truck driver. And I'm following around the country. He's in Utah this week, and next week he's in New Jersey. And there is this envy kind of thing, right? Yeah, I haven't left Plover in, since March, This guy is, and so there's that kind of that envy thing. I'm wasting my life, and what am I doing? Am I cowardly? Am I afraid? What is my problem, damn it, So I think I'm going to watch this. It's called The Social Dilemma, and it really is a dilemma because there's a lot of good stuff. During this podcast, all three phases of it, I've been looking up stuff that we've been able to use during our podcast. And that's really useful, and that's good stuff. And I don't know if we could do the podcast without having that. But at the same time, there's all this, you know, the disinformation that's out there. And I think that has contributed probably to some of the social problems that we have in the country. I walk up and down my street in Plover, and I am one of the lucky ones in the world. I mean, it's no town and country, but it's still, it's a nice area. And I live in a cul-de-sac, there's a cliche. And I walk up and down, and, you know, the polarization's obvious. You know, there's the Trump signs and there's the Biden signs. And some of the people are more strident in what they have next to their Trump sign or next to their Biden sign and the Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. And, you know, you can just see the polarization, and you might as well put moats around every one of the houses, because when you see that sign, you're saying there's no way I'm going to have communion with that person because obviously they're not like me. And I think the way we get to that point is through a lot of what we consume from the internet. So I'm glad you mentioned this thing, because I think it's an important, from what the way you've described it and a little bit I read on Wikipedia, it sounds like this is an important thing and probably something that we all should watch.
Yeah, I think so, because I think the only way you correct it is if we all kind of work together on it, because it's a little similar to our I had a conversation with my group last week about our meeting schedule. And every time someone has an open slot, because we're all working from home right now, people fill it with meetings, because that we can just kind of meet all day long. And since we're all around, we can just invite people.
I know.
So I feel like now this isn't like a fear of missing out because something cool is happening. It's a fear of missing out that something important is happening, or I'm going to have to take this meeting again down the road, and I'm going to waste everyone's time by not attending. So as long as people are doing that, then it's a problem. But if we said, hey, everybody, we're all going to schedule our meetings in the afternoons, let's say, and leave the mornings open, well, then I don't have to – I can, like, create my own kind of quiet space for my mornings to get my work done or read or do the things I want to do. I don't have to keep fighting because they were all in it together. And I you know, if we could all say, hey, we're all going to be put down our phones after 10 o'clock, and rather than have it sit – one person have it sit in the side and bing, 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 you know, you're just constantly getting these things. And that's probably impossible to ask, but because, you know, not everyone wants this to go away. Not everyone wants this to get better. There's huge financial incentives for the largest companies in the world to keep us going on this ride. So I think that recognizing this is a problem, kind of seeing your limitations and having a plan, I think is a good first step. This, I can't imagine you won't watch this and say, I got to do something.
I've been thinking that a lot anyway, and this will probably be the push I need to actually do something about it, because I am deluged, you know, with information, and it's kind of a fear of missing out, but it's also a professional thing. Like I've got to educate myself about everything that's happening in or adjacent to my field, so I'm not caught up short when somebody at a meeting says, well, yes, you saw the thing that happened in New York. And it's like, everyone expects you to be up on all of this stuff that's happening. Or they make a joke and it's like, I don't get it. Well, what, didn't you read the Times this morning? It's like, haven't gotten to. Yeah. And it feels like you're a less than as a result of that sort of thing. So there's a lot of pressure, to be consumers of that fire hose of information that comes through the internet.
Right. So that was one. The second was my daughter and I wanted to watch a scary movie. We watched the
Which daughter?
My youngest.
Got two. Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
My youngest. And she likes the scary movies, but it's a rule. We won't watch anything demonic, and we won't watch something overly slash and gore kind of stuff. So we watched The Lost Boys. Remember Lost Boys from the 80s?
Yes, I do.
That soundtrack is fantastic, for one. And it's corny 80s, right? But it's 80s at its best. And so we watched that. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It still works for me. That's a very fun movie. So that's kind of the spectrum of me. I range for anywhere between Lost Boys and Social Dilemma. It's my right side and left side of my brain. That was my last two pulp culture things that I've done. How about you?
There have been so many things, because, you know, like everyone else, you know, been home a lot, and I work, you know, every day from home. So I'm not like sitting around all day, you know, watching Netflix. And my wife is actually working outside of the home. She actually has to go to a jail where she works, as a matter of fact. So she's not home. But in the evenings, you know, we aren't going out. We're staying in. And so we've been watching a lot of things. And I can't begin to recount all the stuff. But there's been some really, really, really good stuff. But I got to tell you, and this is a classic. I don't know if you've mentioned it in the past, but I finally got around to Deadwood. You know, I mean, it's been off for 15 years, but it kind of came back on my radar when the movie came out last year to wrap up the season. So I've watched the three seasons as they appeared in, what, 2004 through 2006, I think, on HBO. And this is an absolutely fine program. I mean, just it's what's the proper term? Is it elegiac? I maybe, you know, it is so well done. It's
do you say story, angelic?
No, elegiac.
It's hardly angelic.
No, it's well, it depends on how much you like the word cocksucker, I suppose. You know,
I was gonna say, yeah.
If you like that, yeah. I mean, I think even the cast of The Wire thought there was way too much swearing in Deadwood. Yeah.
Well, isn't one of the main characters named Swearingen? Is that
yeah.
His,
yeah, but I believe that's a historical person, though. It's I believe
that's not a play on.
No, it's not. Cause... Although it probably should be. Ian McShane's the actor playing.
He swears with a particular talent for it.
And there is a great flair, and it's written by a guy who was an English teacher at Yale. And so it's written sort of in a Shakespearean style that meets the Old West. Mm-hmm. And this is set in, you know, the gold mining town of Deadwood, which is in the western part of South Dakota in the Black Hills region. I know a lot of our foreign listeners might not have a good orientation for that, but it's the sort of place where all the Western people kind of passed through the, you know, the Wild Bill Hickok and these sort of, you know, Buffalo Bill and those sorts of people at one time or other came through this town. It's they actually call it a camp because it was a place where people who were trying to find gold in the Black Hills, this is kind of where they had, you know, their saloons and houses of prostitution and, you know, the place they come and buy their hardware that they needed for trying to, you know, dig out the mines. But what the story really is about is there is no law in Deadwood because it's not a part of the United States. It's not a part of a territory because it's land that is actually owned by or belongs to the Sioux Nation. And so all these white people have come there to dig the gold out of the Black Hills, and there is no law. But more and more people come, and they you know try to create a form and a system of government. So you have people there who become kind of owners of this, and other interests come in, historical figures, actually real people, who wanted, you know, take over this because of the gold. And so the locals who were there first, they have to band together, they form laws, and they try to protect themselves against this outside interest. And it's a great story about how communities form, about how laws and governments take shape. There's the evolution of people who are pretty much, you know, self-driven, self-motivated people, but who are consistently going outside of their own self-interest to help others. It's an uplifting story. It's funny, but there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of swearing, but none of it feels gratuitous. It all feels like it has a place, and it's telling us a story and a message that is, I think, as relevant today as it ever was, because it's really about the forming of a community and what that really means. So I cannot recommend it highly enough. I wouldn't say it's the best show I've seen, but it is easily in the top 10 and maybe in the top 5. But it is a wonderful story, and I really like it. And I can't recommend it highly enough. I've not seen the movie that is sort of the keystone capper, because they did not get a chance to finish the series. There were this is going to surprise you. There were money issues between HBO and Paramount, who was the producer of the show, and they couldn't come together on the money. And HBO had already kind of moved on. I think at that point, they already had The Wire was going on. They had The Sopranos, and Deadwood was very expensive to produce, and so they just moved on from it, which was a damn shame. But it is well worth people investing their time in watching this. There's 36 episodes, 12 over three seasons. So definitely check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, it's not a Western. If you like Tombstone and think of good Westerns, I don't think you might be a little disappointed, because it's more of a talker than an action. But right. I think if you like that sort of thing, it's poetically, as you said, it's got a, the language is the highlight of the show. And right. As foul as it is, but it's like an art form of how they talk to each other in a way. I saw it a long time ago. I think when it was live, and I think I watched it back at that point when it was coming out in HBO. I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I like this. Not much is happening. But then I kind of got used to the characters and the way they talked. And it's very good. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it is. It was unexpected, you know, because there's more going on there than you would normally think. And I guess it is the sort of thing that you can enjoy it as a piece of entertainment, but if you can take a step back from it, you can see that there's a lot more going on than just the entertainment part of it. And David Milch is the creator. He was the guy who had worked as, I think he was a lecturer at Yale in English, and he uses all of his powers when it comes to the dialogue and how things are beautifully expressed and funny as well. Also, as Timothy Oliphant, who people remember from Justified.
Right.
Playing a similar kind of character, actually. I think in lots of ways, at this point, he's channeling a young Clint Eastwood. I kept hearing Eastwood's voice and seeing that manner playing out. But when you watch it, you're seeing, like, I know that guy. I know her. I know. Yeah. Because you've seen all these people and other things subsequently. Really, it really is wonderful. So check it out. It's HBO Max, I guess, is where you get that stuff now. But I actually do recommend, even if you have to, if you can't get it where you are, it's worth investing in the DVDs and watching it that way, because I think it's that good. So. Right. Well, I'm not going to go through the other stuff because we've gone on long enough, but there's a ton of other things that we watched during the quarantine period we can share in future weeks when we do the third installment of the weekly podcast. So,
And it's right. No surprise that the longest podcast of the three is our pulp culture segment. That's very typical for us.
Well, but that's one reason why we're doing it this way, is because There are two kinds of people in the world. There are people that like the pop culture segment, and there are people that don't like the pop culture segment. And so one of the ways of breaking it up is that it's not so long. And, you know, if people don't like the betting lines, if they don't like pop culture, you know, they don't have to listen to that particular episode. They don't have to waste their time with it, and they can just do the football stuff. But if you do like it, well, then this is, you know, one, it's not a football thing. You don't have to listen to it right away. You can save it for Saturday, or you can actually, you know, hell, you could save it for further on down the line if you give a rip about what we have to say.
Yeah, for like your honeymoon, birthday parties. Yeah, it's.
Well, I had this image of the Van Cleese, right, flying to Hawaii, and each one sharing an earbud so they could listen to the podcast as they were flying to their, was it an anniversary trip that they were on, I think? I'm sure people are doing that around the world, you know.
Counting our unintended puns. Yeah, it's great. It really does. It brings people together. More of the pop culture segment. The football part really drives people apart.
Well, I just like to get us through the football part so we can get to the pop culture part.
Yeah, it's a one big hook, yeah. I'm still laughing about the Philip. He's pulling up something.
Ba-dum-bum! Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
We don't have enough time to get into what's the matter with me. That's probably the entire fourth segment of the week.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it there. There'll be more to talk about after the Lions game. Packers return to Lambeau Field. Fans won't be returning to Lambeau Field. But the good news is, hey, it's going to be on TV, you know, so we'll all be able to watch it that way. And we'll be back with the betting lines and pop culture stuff, as well as a look at the Packers game against the Lions next week. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.